This is Classical IPR, a service of Interlochen Center for the Arts.
This is Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. Lieber Andras is the music director of the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra, and David Lockington is a composer and conductor. This weekend, the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra will give the world premiere of David Lockington's Violet Viola Concerto, featuring Lieber Andras as the viola soloist. And they're joining us by phone today to discuss this upcoming world premiere. We'll start with David. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us today.
Thanks so much, Amanda.
So this is the Violet Viola Concerto. Tell us about Violet.
Well, Violet is our granddaughter who was born on February the 6th in 2018. She's our first granddaughter. And I, 2 days after she was born, a lullaby appeared in my head as I was waking up, and I wrote it down, and I thought, oh, how lovely is this? I'm going to take it over to Lieber, and we played it together, and it sort of became the focal point of the development of this viola concerto that I'd already started.
And we do have a little clip of this lullaby. This is actually from an early reading of this piece by the principal players from the Pasadena Symphony. We're going to play a little bit of this here. Folks can hear it in a more fleshed out version, more final version during the world premiere this Saturday.
Thank you.
Now, will Violet be attending Saturday's concert?
It really depends on what her mother can do. We live in Grand Rapids, and so it's a three-hour journey with a little baby, which stops a bit longer up to Potosi. So we'll see. I hope she'll be able to come. She's pretty familiar with her melodies. I've sung it to her a lot, and she's heard it around as we've played it in different forms. For her, it's sort of a soothing. In fact, there's one time that was just really beautiful. I was singing her lullaby and rocking her, holding her, walking, and she fell asleep. And that's actually how the lullaby movement of the concerto ends. There are pauses between phrases, and you can imagine Violet falling asleep.
So we have this lullaby movement that has Violet's melody in it that came to you soon after she was born. Tell us about the other movements of this piece.
Well, I started writing the concerto in January, and I was pretty close to finishing the first movement when Violet came. The first movement is a very different feeling. It's entitled the Passionato, so it is a passionate movement. Libor and I have been friends for years, and we've talked a lot about where he came from, Slovakia, and other pieces that I've written, for some reason, have a kind of Eastern European feeling about them. And so there's a sort of a tension in this movement that I relate to a certain kind of European expression. It's the material is exposed at the beginning by the solo viola, and that's the material that is developed pretty thoroughly all the way through the movement. The very first thing that I wrote was the second theme in the first movement, and that becomes developed in the last movement together with the lullaby theme. There's a lot of flexibility in the way the first movement is written. The tempo is changing quite a lot. The mood swings are quite strong. It's a movement of great passion and great tension.
So we have the first movement, a Passionata, And then the second movement is the lullaby. Tell us about the third movement.
The third movement starts with just a little gentle reminder in the clarinet of the theme from the first movement. And then it's almost like a sort of a stamping kind of dance at the beginning. The cellos go rum-bum-ba-dum, rum-bum-ba-dum. Got a very vigorous kind of medium tempo feel. And it starts by a series of dances that does recap the violet theme in an almost Scottish kind of context, and builds this symmetric modulation that takes us into a kind of developmental traveling kind of feeling. It reaches quite a big climax, after which there's a very gentle, soft moment that combines a couple of themes from the first and second movement. And then after that, everything breaks into this joyful celebration. Listening to it, you'll just have a great sense of uplift and celebration. But at the very end, just before the very end, the main theme that begins the first movement is repeated. It comes out of the dancing jig-like motion. And then it's a sort of race to the end for everybody in a really fun sort of way.
So you told us that Violet is your first grandchild. You've set pretty high expectations here for any subsequent grandchildren that you have. Will they each get a concerto then?
That's so funny. Well, a year ago, let's say 2 years ago, we didn't imagine we were ever going to have grandchildren. So Violet popped out of nowhere, as it were, and who knows who is next in line if that's going to happen. But it is an interesting thing, isn't it, that each child that comes into this world comes into a totally different emotional environment. And, it may be that there'll be a violin concerto for somebody. I have no idea. At this point, it's such a pleasure to actually have this now out in the world and being performed so beautifully by Liebl.
Tell us how this commission came about for this concerto.
As the music director of the chamber orchestra, Liebl had asked Delana, my wife, Delana Jensen, the wonderful violinist, and myself to join him in a chamber program in the middle of the winter in January in Harbor Springs. And at the end of that program, which featured a couple of pieces that I'd written, Bob Pattingale came up to us. He had started the chamber orchestra, I think, nearly 20 years ago. Next year is the 20th anniversary. He came up to me and asked me, would I write something? It was such a surprise. After a day or so, I thought the best thing would be to feature Liebl. Liebl is such an exceptional violist. He's not only a violist, he's a wonderful violinist, too. But he has got such deep training and great virtuosity. I showed this piece to some other violists, and they say, well, I don't think I could even play the last movement. It's very difficult. Liebl can do anything on the viola. And so I thought a viola concerto that would feature him would be just the perfect solution for this commission. He has got an incredibly challenging job to do. I'm going to conduct the overture, and then we'll see the overture, and then the concerto. But then he is going to come back after the intermission and conduct the Ginastera concert variations for chamber orchestra. This man is we're just lucky he's a young man still.
So he may need to take a nap during intermission is what you're telling us.
He's going to take a power nap.
Let's go to Liebl now. Here's a question. What's it like giving the world premiere performance of any piece and maybe this piece specifically?
Well, it's a mixture of feelings. Of course, there's the trepidation. There's the excitement. There is the responsibility and the hope that what I'll do is going to pave the way for this concerto to be shared by humanity in the future and becomes what it rightfully should be, which is an important contribution to the viola repertoire. When I started working on it, every little bit that David shared with me was really exciting as we explored the viola sound and then the thematic material. And then when I got the final edited part, it became, the responsibility. How do I best render the content, the emotional content of the music? When we rehearsed this past weekend, I could feel the infectious excitement of the piece as it sort of spread from the viola, from the conducting podium, through the musicians, and they all came back with smiles on their faces and commented how exciting that piece is. So I know that you've got something for the gem that's going to speak to the audience.
As David was describing the third movement with the really vigorous stomping, all I could think is the way that toddlers Violet's age tend to walk, where each step is just so decisive and determined. And that's the image that came into my head when he was describing that.
Yeah. And there are so many emotional shifts too. You could sort of imagine how the child goes through those various stages and how the mood can change very quickly, sort of on the dime.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it on Saturday night during the concert and see what kinds of images come in looking at it. So here's something I'm always curious about, especially with world premieres where there's a collaboration between a performer and a composer. Are there changes that you've suggested to David during this process about certain aspects of the music, technical things, or even, hey, I think this phrase might work better later in the piece? How does that process work?
Well, David being such a deep-thinking musician and such a skilled string player himself, there were a few spots where I would recommend, what if we did this grouping or this bow change? And some of those he liked, some of those he said, oh, no, let's just go to do the original idea. And so I haven't really done too much of editing on my part. That's a unique situation. The fact that we live in the same city, we're such a close friend, and we talk almost on a daily basis, maybe I don't realize how much of that has actually happened in conversations rather than editing the final version.
Well, we want to thank our friends from Grand Rapids Community College for recording part of the cadenza from the first movement of the concerto, and Lieber's going to walk us through parts of that right now here on the phone. The cadenza, is that something David composed out, or is it something that you wrote?
David composed the cadenza, and it's thematically related to the first and second theme. And then there are, I remember he telling me, I wanted to give you a little bit of the Mendelssohn's concerto and that wonderful transition at the end of the cadenza with harmonic progression as it happens through this rapid arpeggiation. And so I'm ever thankful for that because it's such a special moment. But it starts with this trepidation, so it's interrupted at first before it really takes off. So, he really composed the whole thing. I just enjoyed the ride, so to speak.
So what should we listen for in the cadenza?
Well, we should listen for the second theme of the first movement. It sort of interrupts this very slow, timid opening of the cadenza and slow build up as we go through sequences of the same material until we sort of reach the climactic point, then start slowly building up the final transition. It has me play these chords really high for quite an extended period of time as the orchestra comes in and restates the thematic material. And that's end of our development section and then coming back to recapitulation of the concerto. Thank you.
And again, our thanks to our friends at Grand Rapids Community College for recording Libor playing the cadenza for the first movement of this Violet Viola Concerto by David Lockington. You can hear the world premiere performance of the Violet Viola Concerto with the Great Lakes Chamber Orchestra this Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Bay Harbor. For more information and tickets, visit glcorchestra.org. And you can join Libor Andras and David Lockington for a pre-concert talk starting at 5:45. Libor Andras, David Lockington, thank you so much for getting on the phone with us today to talk about this exciting new work.
My pleasure, Amanda. Thank you.
Well, Amanda, thanks so much for spending so much time interviewing us. It's an amazing thing to conceive of something and then to have it happen in real time, in real life.